You're listening to Vatican Radio.
A cessation of hostilities appears to be holding in South Sudan following President Salva Kiir's appeal after a resurgence of violence in the country's capital of Juba. Forces loyal to President Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar resumed fighting last Friday on the eve of the country's fifth year of independence. Since the outbreak of violence, more than 300 people, including UN peacekeepers, have been killed and thousands have been displaced within the capital, raising concerns that violence will spread throughout South Sudan. Many fear that the country is on the brink of falling back into a civil war. I spoke to Angela Wells, the communications officer for Jesuit Refugee Service Eastern Africa, who described the current circumstances in Juba and the terrible situations the South Sudanese people are finding themselves in.
As far as we know, telling from the few staff that we have on the ground inside Juba right now, as well as media reports and reports from other agencies, we know that over the weekend, nearly 300 people were killed inside of Juba. And this is starting on Friday, which was the eve of the country's fifth birthday of independence. And since then, like I said, 300 people have been killed and thousands more have become internally displaced within the city. The airport is closed and many agencies have decided to evacuate. Even the UN compound has been bombarded and we learned today that some peacekeepers were killed. It's a dire situation and we fear that the country is reverting back into conflict despite the peace agreements that the leaders signed just a few months ago.
And who are the people that are fleeing and what sort of conditions are they arriving to refugee centres in?
People have been fleeing South Sudan basically since December 2013. There's 2.4 million displaced persons, 1.7 million within the country and 700,000 in countries like Uganda or Ethiopia or Kenya. But these people in particular were in Juba. So these are civilians living in the city, in the capital, normal people working in the city trying to make a normal life, and they've caught themselves amidst heavy gunfire and even some bombardment. So we know that around 3,500 people are being housed right now in different Catholic churches around the city. And also we know that there were 1,000 IDPs before being housed in a UN compound, which was attacked this weekend. So people were fleeing from one UN compound to another, and many other people also entered into these protection of civilian sites run by the UN. This is a really serious situation because people can't move throughout the city. The churches, I was listening to a report by a man running these churches, and he said he doesn't know how they're going to feed these people or how they can keep these areas sanitary. So we're really concerned about their livelihoods in these situations that really aren't meant to keep that many people and the security within them.
And have you seen a large increase in the numbers of people who are fleeing the capital over this last weekend?
As far as I know, they're mostly just fleeing within the capital. So they're fleeing from one protection site to another, or they're fleeing from their homes to the churches or to the schools that are perceived to be safer, but they're not necessarily safer. And we don't know if people will start to flee from Juba. And we also don't know if this violence can escalate into other areas of the country where it will definitely be a lot less easy to protect people.
What are the main needs of these people? What do they need the most? Are there any resources that JRS is struggling to provide for them?
So in this particular situation, I think the mandatory thing that's needed as soon as possible is protection. The fact that the sites that were provided by the UN to care for these people and protect them have been bombarded is completely unacceptable. And any way that either the international community can protect those areas better is so essential. And then, of course, for the IDPs that we work with outside of Juba, because we're working now in the north of the country and in the west of the country. So and for those IDPs, when they come, we're seeing them come very malnourished. And there's about 4.8 million people who face severe food shortages and millions others who are severely malnourished. So food provision, shelter, and also medical care are really important at the onset of conflict like this. But if humanitarian channels, if the roads, if the places that are set up to protect these people are being bombarded and being attacked, then no agency can ensure that those services will get to people. So we really need all humanitarian services to be protected amidst this conflict. And then following that, the major need that JRS is trying to provide throughout the country is education. Every South Sudanese that I've ever met is so eager to learn, even despite living in a war and despite being displaced and having lost so much in their life. They feel that learning is the only thing that they can take away, that no one can take from them, you know, that they can grow from this conflict through education. So I think that's something that really also needs to be prioritized even amidst other emergency needs.
And just finally, Pope Francis has often said that peace is a priority in South Sudan. What sort of an impact do his words have on the work that JRS do And also, what kind of impact do they have for South Sudanese people?
I mean, I think that a quote like that is a bit difficult to swallow in this situation when peace seems a bit elusive at the moment. But in the long term, we need the leaders of the country and of the international community to prioritize that peace in their hearts, in their communities, but also in the structures of power. And they have to ultimately give up the greed that's fueling this conflict. And then finally, we need the people of South Sudan. I think they really want education. So it helps them to channel all of these energies and their frustrations into something positive. It keeps children safe amidst the war. And I think providing education and promoting peace, they go totally hand in hand. So I think the significance of that quote is really huge on all the people working with displaced persons and as well as South Sudanese themselves. But we need to see it in tangible actions, and we need to see it not just, you know, in words, but in reality.
That was Angela Wells, the communications officer for Jesuit Refugee Service Eastern Africa.